A reading from the book of Joshua. The Lord said to Joshua, "Today I have taken the shame of Egypt away from you." The Israelites pitched their camp at Gilgal and kept the Passover there on the 14th day of the month, at evening in the plain of Jericho. On the morrow of the Passover, they tasted the produce of that country, unleavened bread and roasted ears of corn that same day. From that time, from their first eating of the produce of that country, the manna stopped falling. And having manna no longer, the Israelites fed from that year onwards on what the land of Canaan yielded. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to the Lord.
Taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise always on my lips. In the Lord my soul shall make its boast. The humble shall hear and be glad. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Glorify the Lord with me. Together let us praise his name. I sought the Lord and he answered me. From all my terrors he set me free.
Reading from the second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. For anyone who is in Christ, there is a new creation. The old creation has gone, and now the new one is here. It is all God's work. It was God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the work of handing on his reconciliation. In other words, God in Christ was reconciling the world to himself, not holding men's faults against them. And he has entrusted to us the news that they are reconciled. So we are ambassadors for Christ. It is as though God were appearing through us, and the appeal that we make in Christ's name is, be reconciled to God. For our sake, God made the sinless one into sin, so that in him we might become the goodness of God. The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The tax collectors and the sinners were all asking and seeking the company of Jesus to hear what he had to say. And the Pharisees and the scribes complained. This man, they said, welcomes sinners and eats with them. So he spoke this parable to them. A man had two sons. The younger said to his father, "Father, let me have the share of the estate that would come to me." So the father divided the property between them. A few days later, the younger son got together everything he had and left for a distant country, where he squandered his money on a life of debauchery. When he had spent it all, that country experienced a severe famine, and now he began to feel the pinch. So he hired himself out to one of the local inhabitants, who put him on his farm to feed the pigs. And he would willingly have filled his belly with the husks from the pigs that they were eating, but no one offered him anything. Then he came to his senses and said, "How many of my servants, my father's paid servants, have more food than they want? And here I am, dying of hunger. I will leave this place and go to my father and say, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. Treat me as one of your paid servants.' So he left the place and went back to his father. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was moved with pity. He ran to the boy, clasped him, and put his arms round him tenderly and kissed him. Then his son said, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the calf which we have been fattening and kill it. We are going to have a feast, a celebration, because this son of mine that was dead and has come back to life, he was lost and is now found.' And they began to celebrate. Now the elder son, who was out in the fields and on his way back home, he drew nearer the house and could hear music and dancing. And calling one of the servants, he asked what it was all about. 'Your brother has come,' replied the servant, 'and your father has killed the calf that we were fattening, because he has got him back safe and sound.' He was angry then and refused to go in, and his father came out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I have slaved for you and never once disobeyed your orders. Yet you never offered me so much as a kid for me to celebrate with my friends. But for this son of yours, when he comes back after swallowing up your property, he and his women, you kill the fatted calf that we have been saving for ourselves.' The father said, 'My son, you will always be with me and have always been here. All I have is yours. But it is only right that we should celebrate and rejoice, because your brother here, who was dead, has come back to life. He was lost and is now found.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Dear friends, today, the Mothering Sunday, is a day to honor, celebrate all those who have provided mothering in its widest sense in our lives. Actually, today was never meant to be only about mothers. Its original meaning was more about mothering. The day itself grew out of the medieval tradition of visiting the mother church and taking an offering for presentation at the altar there. Practically, there was a tradition the people were going to visit the cathedral of the diocese as their mother church. The flowers that we exchange on Mother's Day began after the Holy Mass in Rome. The Pope took a flower, a golden flower, and offered to Mother Mary. That was the beginning of flowering. But today, we thank the Mother Church as well as all our mothers. The Church as a mother nourishes and protects us. Actually, today is the gospel, what we just heard. It's an invitation for us to reflect on how we celebrate the reality of God's tender mercy in our lives as disciples, just like a mother. The gospel today said about the prodigal son, prodigal father, we very quite often heard. The overflow of the love of the father, the mercy of the father, the conversion of the son, and everything, it is very dense. Surprisingly, I was always thinking, if I ask you, where is the mother in the prodigal son's parable? There is a father, there is a son returned from his misery, there is an elder son. Now the question is, where is the mother? While thinking on that one, on Mothering Day, I would say it is a story about a father who behaves like a mother. Jesus was describing a father who behaved like a mother. Maybe Jesus was shocking his people, surprised his listeners into understanding the love of the father just like a mother. I'm not making you polemic, but unless you don't become, or we all don't become, as feminine nature, we cannot save the world. The church itself is a feminine. We both, men and women, should be or should have a feminine nature. Today, we respect all our mothers. The prodigal son, when he was asking all his demand, the father was silent, mother was silent. But I would say what happened to the conversion is nothing other than the prayer of a mother. The mother, I'm sure she couldn't sleep. She should have prayed and prayed and prayed for the conversion of his son. That might have one of the major reasons for his returning. And the gospel used a particular word. The son went a far distance. The word is used astos. Astos means he went to immorality. Dear friends, unless we don't come back to our mother's hands or our mother's wishes, we will be far away from all the expectations. And the mothers who have taught us, by dwelling in the womb of our mother, the beating heart of our own mother, we begin to learn the love and the mercy of God. All of us, every single one of us, learned the mercy of God not from the Bible, nor from the church, but from the mother's heart from the beginning. And to the mercy was the beating of the heart. That was the sound that infused into our life more than any other church teaching, or the teaching of the mercy. The one big difference between mother and others are mother's gives and forgiveness, or they forgives. We get and forget. Church as a mother, our own mother, biological. I read a funny quote like this the other day. It's about mothers, because the author was saying that how we learned from mothers. Mothers, in order to teach, in order to meet a challenge, the mother taught us, what were you thinking? Answer me when I talk to you. Don't talk back to me. And the mother said to the children to become an adult, if you don't eat vegetable, you will never grow up. That was the technique of the mothers. And to teach the wisdom of the age, the mothers quite often say, when you get to be my age, you will understand. That was the greatest wisdom. When a mother is angry to the children, they say, stop acting like your father. And to teach something in anticipation, you mothers say to us, just wait until your father gets home. To teach justice, you say to us, one day you will have kids, then you will see what it is like. Dear mothers, you have brought us to the baptismal font so that we should learn how to grow to heaven. We all know that the safest place to be is in the arms of the mother. That is why the baptismal font is in an oval, semi-circular type. It shows the womb of the mother, because it is the great symbol of mercy and wisdom. Never, ever another person can substitute that, the mercy of a mother. We all know that the safest place to be in the arms of the mother, the place where we are going to be able to completely relaxed. That's why the gospel said the mother was absolutely silent. I'm sure the prodigal son might have met the mother before he met the father. Each one of us has learned from our own mothers what it is to be loved, to be taught, to be nourished and cherished. Mothers hold their children's hands for a short while, but their hearts forever, wherever we are. We pray for not only the mothers, the expectant, the woman, the ladies, and we all need to become a feminine nature to become, to share the mercy of God. Amen.